This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show, and it is sure to be a blast of an hour because not only are we about to do Medal of Honor Monday, as we always do, we'll get to that in a minute, a half hour from now, the Tournament of Tournaments begins. What is the crappiest country in the world? There are so many. Well, the only way to figure it out is to have a competition, and that competition starts tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Don't shake your head, Chris. Before we get to that, and we'll do some other stuff. We'll talk about J.B. Pritzker talking about subversives in our government. We'll get to some emails and things, but that's not for right now, is it? You know what right now is. It's the start of the second hour on Monday, and that means it's Medal of Honor Monday time. Every Monday at this time, we do the same thing. We honor a hero. We learn about his name, his hometown, his deeds, and we tell our children about them out of respect for what he did and to let them know that's who you want to be. That's who you want to be. And this one is he's a Navy guy. Joseph Timothy O'Callaghan, and I'll get to what he did in a little bit more depth for a moment, but you've heard me complain several times on this show that our elites in this country, they don't actually go fight anymore with the risk of dying. Oh, I know, they'll do 25 minutes in the National Guard scrambling eggs, and then they'll run campaign ads of them in uniform acting like they're Rambo, but it was not usually this way in the past. In the past, you were expected to, at some level, have served your country. And God forbid a war broke out, you served. And in fact, all throughout history, elites in society, in the good ones, marched off to war with their troops. If the Romans lost a battle, senators, plural, died. A third of the Roman Senate got wiped out by Hannibal in one battle. A third. You know why? Because they were there with swords and shields in their hands. In America, it's not this way anymore. But I want to read you a couple things about Joseph Timothy O'Callaghan before I move on and talk about his citation. I want you to listen to this person's resume. This is not a person who had to find himself under fire. This is a person who had every excuse and could have gotten every exemption. Listen to his schooling. Received a Bachelor of Arts degree in 1926. He next attended Western Massachusetts Philosophical School and then Jesuit Seminary, both in Western Massachusetts, and received degrees of Master of Arts in 1929 and a Bachelor of Sacred Theology in 1935. He studied further at St. Robert's Seminary in Connecticut, Georgetown University, and specializing in mathematics and physics. He was a professor of mathematics, philosophy, and physics at Boston College, and then for a year was a professor of philosophy at the Jesuit Seminary. Okay, I'm not even going to continue on. This is a human being with more degrees than Houston in July. Oh, do you want to hear about some awards? He was a member of many leading scientific societies, among them the American Physical Society, American Mathematical Society and Mathematical Association, the American Statistical Society, Association of Mathematical Statistics, Association of Jesuit Scientists, and the Jesuit Philosophical Association, and he wrote a book. And yet, all those credentials, all those degrees, and Joseph Timothy O'Callaghan did not consider himself too important to go off to war. He found himself on the famous USS Franklin under a kamikaze attack that I wouldn't wish on anybody. So without further ado, let's find out what he did.
Ready, aim, fire.
honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
Born in Boston, Massachusetts, by the way. For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty while serving as chaplain on board the USS Franklin when that vessel was fiercely attacked by enemy Japanese aircraft during offensive operations near Kobe, Japan on the 19th of March, 1945. And yes, in case you're wondering, this is a kamikaze attack, a terrible, terrible kamikaze attack. A valiant and forceful leader, calmly braving the perilous calmly braving the perilous barriers of flame and twisted metal to aid his men and his ship, Lieutenant Commander O'Callaghan groped his way through smoke-filled corridors to the open flight deck and into the midst of violently exploding bombs, shells, rockets, and other armament. With the ship rocked by incessant explosions, with debris and fragments raining down and fires raging in ever-increasing fury, he ministered to the wounded and dying, we'll get to more of that in a second, comforting and encouraging men of all faiths. He organized and led firefighting crews into the blazing inferno on the deck. He directed the jettisoning of live ammunition and the flooding of the magazine. He manned a hose to cool hot armed bombs rolling dangerously on the listing deck, continuing his efforts despite searing, suffocating smoke, which forced men back gasping and imperiled others who replaced them. Serving with courage, fortitude, and deep spiritual strength, Lieutenant Commander O'Callaghan inspired the gallant officers and men of the Franklin to fight heroically and with profound faith in the face of almost certain death and to return their stricken ship to port. Couple things. First of all, World War II was amazing for a lot of reasons, but here's a little amazing tidbit of it. There's so much video. This was the area where we had video. When Jewish producer Chris set the citation in front of my desk today, I remembered immediately, I have actually watched Joseph Timothy O'Callaghan administering last rites to a dying sailor on the USS Franklin that day. There's video of it. You are going to have to go seek that out and look it up. I'm sure it's probably on YouTube or something somewhere. I apologize deeply. I've watched so many documentaries, I did not write down which one I saw this in, but I'm sure it's in more than one. You can go look at this man standing over, kneeling over a man dying, about to breathe his last, administering last rites. You can watch him do it. But it's beyond that. Imagine your ship on fire. It's hell on earth. There's fire everywhere, and all the explosive stuff on the ship is blowing up because of the fire. You start grabbing hot bombs and chucking them off the side of the ship. Imagine carrying a bomb that might explode any moment. It said he flooded the magazine. Oh, don't think for a moment that meant he pulled a lever. He manned the hose and took it down. Remember, the magazine is where all the, I'll just call it black powder. A bunch of explosive stuff is going, and if it blows up, everyone's going to die. He takes a hose down there and hoses the thing down so none of it will blow up. And this guy's a freaking chaplain. He is a chaplain. He doesn't have a responsibility to do any of this stuff. He's hosing down the magazine. He's carrying bombs. And when he's not doing that, he's trying to bring people to Jesus before they breathe their last breath on the USS Franklin, which suffered the worst kamikaze attack probably in all of World War II. That's bravery. And humility. Man, if I had ever earned a Medal of Honor, which of course I could never have done, I don't have that stuff in me, I'd wear it everywhere. What, Chris? I'd wear it to the gas station. I would have that thing on at all times, just doing nothing but bragging about myself. That's what I would do. This guy, he said his was exaggerated. How about that? All the men talked about what he did, but for him, they asked him about it. Oh, they blew that out of proportion. And he even said, this is not a direct quote, but it's pretty close. He said, oh, any priest would have done what I did. No. No, sir. That's not true at all. Lived until, I believe it was 1964. He passed of a terrible illness. We don't have to get into the ugliness of it. So how about that? Not bad, huh? Let's do some emails. We haven't done any of those. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All right? And also do remember, do you have a grandpa that fought in a war? A dad, maybe? Do you have a picture of him? Or, boy, you don't happen to have a film of him, right? A Super 8 film or VHS tape or something? You know that Legacy Box will digitize that for you by hand. This is not some company of foreigners. Tennessee. You send it down to them in Tennessee, Chattanooga, Tennessee, and they will hand digitize your pictures, your hard copy pictures, your home videos. They have a special right now, $9 a tape. They'll digitize your home videos. Man, don't let those precious memories go. Not only do you want them on your phone, your kids want them. Even if you don't have any yet, your grandkids want them. Save those memories forever. Forever. I did it. And I'm just so grateful for what they did for me. It means so much to me to have that stuff on my phone. It just means everything to me. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday. I'm so excited to be back at work, aren't you? Remember, if you don't shake your head, Chris, you should be happy to be here. If you miss any part of the show, download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, and we are 10 minutes away from the crappiest country in the world tournament beginning. Gosh, I'm so unreasonably excited. Hey, Bronco, what did Alexander the Great's father use to scale impenetrable walls? It seems that those city-states had cracks that would open with the application of a little bit of gold. Sounds like bribery has been effective for a very long time. Well, I get the point you're making, and look, it's true. It's not like the Alexander the Great's father, Philip II, was the first, or the Mongols were always great at this. The Chinese, it's wild. The Chinese are great. They're well known to bribe everybody, including American politicians. They have many in their pocket. But historically, they were great at it. The Chinese always knew a well-placed bribe is as good as an army in certain cases. There are many of these societies. You've heard of the Persians or the Achaemenid Persian Empire. The Persians, very famous. The Persians, you know, the Spartan 300 that fought the Persians. Anyway, they were famous for that too. They had loads of money and they spread it everywhere. They bribed everybody. China does this to this day. I mean, look at this headline. This is from Free Beacon. Quote, our Chinese friends. LeBron James writes an op-ed for a CCC mouthpiece involved in a propaganda campaign to deny the Uyghur genocide. That's from the Free Beacon. Well, he signed a $1 billion Nike sneaker deal. Well, he was part of one. And you got to sell those sneakers in China. A little bit of cash here, a little bit of cash there. American basketball star finds himself over there telling the whole world how wonderful the Chinese are. This is how it operates. And I want to again remind you before I get back to the emails that Joe Biden's family, they were tied deeply to China. So deeply that his dirtball son flew on Air Force Two when Joe was vice president to go meet with businessmen over there. Millions of dollars have flowed from China into Biden family accounts. The same Joe Biden who allowed a Chinese spy balloon to fly from the Pacific to the Atlantic, gathering information as it paused over every one of our military bases. He allowed it to traverse the entire country before he shot it down. I don't even think we want to know. I mean, of course we do. I don't think we want to know just how bought American politicians are. Bought and paid for. Terrible. Jesse, I'm going to ask you about moving to a red state. I'm only 17, but I live in the dark blue state of Colorado. It's getting bad. I would wait until I'm married, but if I do move, where should I go? My top three right now are North Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia. I love the show and what, Chris? He says his name is Caleb. All right, Caleb. I'm going to give you some advice. One, you can't go wrong with North Carolina, Tennessee, or West Virginia. I've spent a ton of time in all three of those states. I would move to any of those three in a heartbeat. Love them, love them, love them. But you're 17, saying you're going to wait until you're married. If I may make a suggestion, go to Tennessee if you don't have a girlfriend already, buddy. What, Chris? I'm helping the young buck out. Just hear me out, young man. Tennessee's a good place to go track down a wife. Little southern woman, great accents there. Great fun scene. There's always a concert of some kind going on. Great outdoor scene if you're a hunter. Great deer hunting in Texas, actually, or Tennessee. It's really just a great outdoors place. Lakes galore. Tennessee's worth looking into. Now, the problem is it's very similar to Florida in that that secret got out a few years ago and everyone moved there and it's freaking expensive now. What, Chris? What? Chris said, what's wrong with the Carolinas? Don't do that. Did I say there was something wrong with the Carolinas, Chris? Is that what I said? I didn't say that at all. I love the Carolinas, pal. Love the Carolinas, north and south. And it's so funny how much they hate each other. They're always bickering about the low this and low that. They're always complaining. I love them both. Absolutely love them both. There's nothing wrong with the Carolinas. I mean, I would recommend you stay out of Charlotte, but for the most part, love the Carolinas. Tennessee's worth looking into if you're a young single man. Me, I'm old and married, so I worry about costs. Just like Jewish producer Chris, we went last time we went to Nashville, we talked about, hey, one day we could move to, you know, the burbs. We wouldn't want to live in the city. We're not really city people. Well, let's maybe get some property there, move to the burbs. And then we looked at the prices and we thought, you know what, we'll just stay in the house we have. That'll be fine. Let's stay in the house we have. One piece of advice I will give you, though. Make sure you bring your male vitality stack from Chalk. Don't forget that. Don't ever forget it. You are going to see a difference in your life. Whether you are a man or a woman, get a natural herbal supplement stack from Chalk in your body. You can't see my legs right now because we're on the radio. My legs are just bouncing underneath the table. They do it the entire show. You know why? I'm so full of energy all the freaking time. I'm just ready to go all the time. When I get home, kids want to hang out, wrestle, I'm game. You want to feel like that? You want to be ready to cook dinner, throw a football around, go for a walk? Doesn't it feel good to feel good? Natural herbal supplements will get you there from Chalk. The highest quality. And if you're a dude, that male vitality stack, man, you're about to have testosterone coming out of your ears. It is the best feeling in the world. Go. C-H-O-Q. Chalk.com/Jesse. Go get a subscription. Chalk.com/Jesse. Now, it's time. What is the crappiest country in the world? Next.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an amazing Monday. What a Monday it has been. Medal of Honor Monday. We still have Clay Martin coming up next hour. He's going to teach us about fighting people in a house, or at least we're going to talk about urban warfare with him. It's going to be awesome. There's just so much stuff to get to on this show, but it's time. We've been talking about it for a week now. It's time for the tournament of tournaments to crown the champion of champions. Competition makes us all better, or in this case, possibly worse, because this is the 2025 Jesse Kelly Show Crappiest Country in the World Tournament. Tournament? I'm not sure how I would. Look, you can say it both ways, Chris. In case you don't know, there are 16 teams. Everyone from Afghanistan to Haiti to Italy to, you know, Somalia. The worst places on the planet. We are halfway through the second hour going to be rolling out a matchup every single day. Obviously, this is a first round matchup today. And dare I say it, honestly, either one of these countries could be a champion, is a worthy champion. But without further ado, let's meet the contenders.
It's the 2025 Crappiest Country in the World competition. Tonight's matchup is between Yemen and Haiti. Brought to you by Curry Airlines. Traveling stinks, not with Curry.
Let's meet the contenders. We have Yemen. Yemen is such a godforsaken dump that they flat out closed the embassy there a decade ago and nobody even knew about it. Civil war is everywhere. 7 out of 10 people in Yemen cannot even afford food. So look, at least obesity is not going to be a problem there. Crime is everywhere. Electricity, virtually non-existent. Medical care is a disaster. If you find some place that has medical care, it's probably not a place you want to receive medical attention. And maybe the worst part of this, and by the way, maybe the worst part of this, because this country in the Human Development Index is 168th out of 177. But in my opinion, the worst part of Yemen is apparently there are landmines all over the place. Combine that with the fact that not only do people get kidnapped in Yemen, you can get kidnapped into Yemen and forced into marriages. Obviously, this applies to women, and you know exactly what that means. That's slavery. If you happen to go visit Yemen on a little vacation for spring break, you may find yourself wearing a burqa, living a life of hell. But hey, the good news is, because of all the landmines, it's going to have to be a guy who's into amputees. Yemen is most definitely a contender on the list, but then we have Haiti. Haiti is a cursed land. Haiti was the site of some of the worst. I know a lot about slavery, historical slavery, not just the American slavery, the only one your American professor taught you about. The slavery throughout history, from the Roman salt mines to the slavery that wasn't that bad. You know, you were the math tutor in the home. I know a lot about slavery and different forms of it. The slavery in Haiti sounds like some of the worst I've ever heard in my entire life. The slaves they had there, because they were processing sugarcane and it was abusive and it was terrible. And honestly, I don't think Haiti today is better than it was back when they had slaves. That's what a disaster this country is. From AIDS to, get this, this is from the U.S. State Department's website. You want to know how prevalent kidnapping is? By the way, they'll just follow you right from the airport and kidnap you. This happens so often that they have instructions on getting to the nearest police station when you notice somebody following you from the Port-au-Prince airport. Also, on the U.S. State Department's advice section for if you're traveling to Haiti, I kid you not, there is advice on how you need to choose a family member with whom the kidnappers can negotiate your ransom price. So the bad news is you might be murdered, raped, eaten, and chopped up with a machete in Haiti if you visit there. But the good news is that sister you hate, you can force her to cough up some ransom money and cost her a fortune. So, who's going to win?
It's the 2025 Crappiest Country in the World competition. Tonight's matchup is between Yemen and Haiti. Brought to you by Curry Airlines. Traveling stinks, not with Curry.
Drum roll, please. This is just my hands, in case you can't tell. It's my hands on the desk. It's Haiti. Look, if you're in Yemen, I don't want you to take this as any sign of disrespect. You are a horrible country, a dreadful place, one of the worst places on the planet. So don't think that your first round exit from the tournament is in any way us being disrespectful. But Haiti, they're on just a different level than most of the others. Sorry, Yemen, you are out of the tournament. Haiti, congratulations. This might be the only good thing that's ever happened in the history of your country. You're moving on to the second round. We'll continue on again tomorrow, halfway through the second hour. And I'm giving you a heads up right now. You had a big say in Haiti winning. Haiti was widely voted on the Jesse Kelly Show Twitter page. Tomorrow's matchup is going to be tight. It's South Sudan, I believe. South Sudan. It's Sudan versus Congo tomorrow. Sudan versus Congo. An African war tomorrow, as if that's anything new. So that'll be fun. Now, let's do some other stuff. Dear Fred, the Beaver Hunter's sidekick, you mentioned the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand and was a turning point in history, and I agree. There have been a handful of major turning points in history, the life of Jesus, crossing of the Rubicon, discovery of fossil fuels, etc. What are your thoughts on 9/11 as a major change in the world order? It seems the West has lost its way since then with the debt and the endless wars and the moral decline. His name is Paul. Well, the war on terror, let's just stick with that term because that's what most people know it as. The war on terror, it came mostly after 9/11. You know, the jihadis were getting rolling in the 70s and 80s, but 9/11 was really their Super Bowl. And after that, Western countries, Europe and America, Western countries decided they were going to do something about it. It's time to go after these terrorists where they live. Now, as far as what did it do to help us lose our way, we can have a talk about that. I'm game to talk about that. We can examine that together, and then we'll get back to some news of the day, if you will. I still have to get to this J.B. Pritzker stuff. Before we get to that, let's take care of your dog. Fred had a very, very hard weekend. He had a hard weekend because me and the boys left for 8 hours. Therefore, Fred, like always, thought that was forever and that he had been abandoned. It was a really hard weekend. And that's normally when Fred would have a lot of stomach issues because his anxiety goes through the roof. I know, he's so embarrassing. But Rough Greens has fixed those. Rough Greens can't fix the fact that Fred is embarrassing, but at least no stomach issues come with it anymore. Your dog does not get nutrition from dog food. Your dog does not get nutrition from his brown food. It's brown because it's dead. They kill everything in dog food at the factory so the food will last. Fresh stuff goes bad quickly. Dog food lasts forever. Why do you think that is? Rough Greens is the number one dog supplement in America. Sprinkle it on your dog's food. Go to roughgreens.com and they'll send you a free jumpstart trial bag. The differences you will see in your dog when you give them vitamins and minerals and probiotics, it's amazing. roughgreens.com, promo code Jesse, gets you a free jumpstart trial bag. Or 214-ROUGH-DOG, promo code Jesse. We'll talk about this next.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, fantastic, fantastic Monday. Remember, you can email the show, Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. So, guy asked a question. It's an interesting one. We'll get to J.B. Pritzker here in a moment, and Putin, and Xi, and Mamdani, and other things. But the guy said, what are your thoughts on 9/11 as a major change in the world order? Seems the West lost its way since then. The debt, the endless wars, the moral decline, so on and so forth. So the jihadis got, like I said, they were getting rolling in the 70s and 80s, starting to figure out that terror, acts of terror, were an effective way to move the needle in their direction. 9/11 happens. Obviously, just one of the worst days anyone can remember. If you were alive that day, you remember where you were. It was awful. From there, we had to figure out how to fight it. And here is the truth about warfare. It has always been true, and it will always be true. It's very, very, very difficult to fight against anything, any people, any group of people who are woven into the population. And this applies to way more than just jihadis. It's happened so many times. And part of the reason is not just that you have to go to their turf to fight them, but when you go to their turf, you are also, just by proximity, you're on someone else's turf too. An innocent person's turf too. And you might take somebody who wasn't your enemy before and turn them into a choice recruit for the other side, even if it's inadvertent. All armies run into this problem, and the Western powers, making about us, have run into this over and over again. I'll give you an example right away. The first one that popped into my mind, a potential example, I should say. Remember, we talked about it a lot after the Abbey Gate thing, where we drone strike 10 innocent people and six of them were children. Now, let me ask you. Let's say you're a 17-year-old male in Afghanistan. You are not a jihadi. You are not. You're not part of Al-Qaeda. You're not part of ISIS. You're not. But you are a 17-year-old male. You have a six-year-old little girl who is your sister who you love. You get a phone call one day that something terrible has happened. You have to drive down to the house. Only when you get there, there's no more house. It's all rubble. And you have to sift through the rubble. And you have to carry the dead body of your six-year-old sister out. And you find out not only did the Americans do it, they're not even sorry about it.
How does it strike you that no one is held accountable? Because I know how it strikes a lot of people around the world that you can get away with murder and nobody's punished for it.
I do understand that. We appreciate that not everybody's going to support this decision. What I can tell you is we looked at this thing very, very comprehensively. And again, we acknowledge that there were procedural breakdowns. Processes were not executed the way they should have been. But it doesn't necessarily indicate that that an individual or individuals have to be held to account for that. But look.
Is there discipline inside the Pentagon at all? I mean, maybe there are no charges brought up, but is anyone demoted or disciplined for what happened that day?
What we are going to do, there's not going to be individual discipline as a result of this, Willie. But what we are going to do is learn from this, and we're going to enact and improve our procedures and our processes to try to make sure this doesn't happen again.
You're that 17-year-old kid, young, full of testosterone. That little girl was your sister. You hear that on the news. What are you feeling in that moment? I am not 17. I am 44. And I'm telling you right now, if anybody ever harmed a member of my family, I would kill them. I would not want them arrested. I would find a way to kill them. I would. And I have no problem with it at all. Nothing at all. I would do it. Imagine that 17-year-old. He gets a knock on the door after that, and it's Al-Qaeda. Hey, I got a suicide vest here. You want to go blow up 50 Americans? It's 50 Americans right down there. Remember, you want to look at a picture of your sister? Remember your sister? I got 50 Americans right up the road. That's how hard it is to go into a place where they're woven into society. And so what happened was fighting the global war on terror became a nightmare because they're woven into so many parts of the cultures we were in. And as you're there fighting the bad guys, even if you're not the Biden administration, you are inadvertently creating more bad guys. It happened. We ran into this exact same stuff in Vietnam, and I don't want to make this just about us. Every army who has tried to invade and tried to occupy and defeat a surgically selected portion of the population, almost every army in history has failed at that. Because it's hard to separate the good from the bad. And when you're trying to separate the good from the bad, you're inevitably killing the wrong people or this or that. And you're creating more of the bad. It's just really, really difficult to pull off. And it's what makes fighting against jihad so incredibly difficult in a Muslim country. And all Muslim countries are not jihadi, but in a Muslim country, you may not have a bunch of terrorists, but you have guys who can become one with a little nudge here, a little push there. Maybe I'm bored. Maybe I'm poor. Maybe I'm this. Maybe you killed my sister or someone who wore your flag did. And now, guess what? Give me that freaking suicide vest. I'm ready to take some Americans out. And it ended up being a multi-trillion dollar with more blood, and it ended up being a disaster. Yeah, you could argue it was a big turning point. Let's talk about J.B. Pritzker and Xi Jinping next.
This is an iHeart podcast.